الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. وقال عز وجل في مقام آخر: وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون. وقال عز وجل في مقام آخر: واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected ulama, elders, young friends, and brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in the glorious Quran repeats the same command: ittaqullah, fear Allah. Wattaqullah la'allakum tuflihun, fear Allah so that you may become successful. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih, fear Allah as He is worthy of fear. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe, fear Allah. Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad, and each person should think and ponder as to what he or she has prepared for the life hereafter. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of what you do. Over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this command, ittaqullah, fear Allah, ittaqullah, fear Allah, ittaqullah, fear Allah. What I intend to do today in this gathering is to explain this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect from us when He says to us, fear me? Ittaqullah, fear Allah, fear me. Ittaqullah, fear Allah. Allah said, daro. This is the literal translation. But what it actually means is, ittaqullah, fear the displeasure of Allah. Fear the displeasure of Allah. Make sure that you do not displease Allah. Ittaqullah, create a wiqayah between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah. Because when you disobey Allah, Allah becomes displeased. And if you create a wiqayah, if you create a taqwa, and taqwa and wiqayah means a shield, a barrier. If you create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to Allah, if you create a veil between yourselves and disobedience to Allah, if you create a wall between yourselves and disobedience to Allah, you will never disobey Allah, hence you will never displease Allah. So, ittaqullah means create a veil between yourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier between yourselves and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In short, it means do not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when mentioning this term, ittaqullah, He begins with, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe, ittaqullah. O you who believe, ittaqullah. O you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be able to save, you will be able to safeguard this priceless ni'mat, this priceless bounty of iman that Allah has granted you. And if you fail to create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to Allah, between yourselves and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is fear that you may lose this gift of iman. Either in this very life or just before departing from this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, O you who believe, you are very, very fortunate that I have granted you this gift of iman, gift of belief. Now look after it. Look after it, because your eternal success depends upon this iman. If you leave this world with iman, then sooner or later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you entry into Jannah. If a person leaves this world with iman, then one scenario is that on the day of Qiyamah, when his a'mal are weighed, his good deeds outweigh his evil deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah direct without him having to go in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us from this group. Second scenario, a person leaves this world with iman, but his evil deeds outweigh his good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with this servant with fadl, with grace, with mercy. And he forgives him and he grants him entry into Jannah without him having to go in the fire of Jahannam. And the third scenario, a person leaves this world with iman and his evil deeds outweigh his good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to treat him with justice, not fadl, not grace, with justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw him in the fire of Jahannam for a day, for a few days, for a week, for a few weeks, for a month, for a few months, for a year, for a few years. And finally, a time will come when he will be granted entry into Jannah forever and ever. So iman is such a precious gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it guarantees everlasting bliss in the hereafter. As long as a person is able to retain this ni'mat until he breathes his last. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to the believers and speaking to the mu'minin, is saying that, O you who believe, I have granted you this priceless ni'mat, priceless favor, priceless bounty upon which depends your everlasting success in the hereafter. In order to safeguard this priceless blessing, priceless bounty, priceless gift, you need to be very careful in regard to disobedience towards me. Because if you continue disobeying me, there is a possibility that you may lose your iman. When a person continually disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a possibility that that person may lose iman. Never look down upon any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These sins have been categorized into two categories: minor sins and major sins. Minor sins and major sins. Sagair and kabair. Never look down upon a minor sin. Never let this thought enter your mind that it's only a minor sin. I need to be very careful as far as adultery is concerned, fornication is concerned, consumption of alcohol is concerned, disobedience to parents is concerned, discarding of salat is concerned, non-payment of zakat is concerned. I need to be very, very careful because these are sins which belong to the category of major sins. But minor sins, it's only a minor, it's only a minor, it's only a minor. Never let this thought enter your mind, it's only a minor. Always remember that a sin, be it minor or major, is disobedience to the Creator. Forget the word sin. Minor sin, major sin, no. Minor, disobedience to the Creator. Major, disobedience to the Creator. And disobedience towards the Creator, disobedience towards the greatest benefactor, be it minor or major, will always be major. It is for this reason, Tarjumanul Quran, Habrul Ummah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, said, Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. He said, everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, be it minor or be it major, is major because it is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can disobedience to the Creator be taken lightly? Disobedience to the Creator is disobedience. You are being disobedient to Him. Can there be more disrespect towards the Creator than disobeying Him? So when a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disobeys Allah, he is in reality disrespecting Allah. So be it minor or major, be very, very careful. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, that have you ever seen an intelligent person who says, that stay away from a large snake, but don't worry too much about a small snake. Have you ever come across an intelligent person who says, stay away from a large scorpion, but a small scorpion, don't worry too much about it. Hakimul Ummah rahimahullah ta'ala says, that large snake, small snake, large scorpion, small scorpion, both of them are poisonous. The result of one will be seen quicker than the other, but the consequence of both will be same, death. Both of them, the consequence will be the same. So here also, the consequence of a major sin may result quicker than the consequence of a minor sin, but both are same, both are poisonous to our iman. So one should be very, very vigilant in regard to disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it minor or major. And I would also like to point out here that a minor sin remains a minor until a person begins to look down upon the minor sin. As soon as this thought enters a person's mind, that, oh, this is only a minor sin. Oh, this is only a minor sin. This sin for the whole ummah is minor, but for this person it becomes major. The day a person begins to look down upon a minor sin, that, oh, it's only a minor sin. Oh, it's only a minor sin. Whether he verbally says it or he only thinks in his heart and mind. As soon as this thought enters a person's mind, that, oh, it's only a minor sin. Oh, it's only a minor sin. This sin is minor for the whole ummah. But for this particular person, it has become a major sin. Similarly, a minor sin, when it is carried out by the same person over and over again, minor sin being committed in the morning, committed again at 10 o'clock, committed again at 12 o'clock, committed again at 4 o'clock, committed again in the evening, committed on Monday, committed on Wednesday, continually a minor sin is being committed by somebody. Then this minor sin for the whole ummah is minor, but this person who continually commits this minor sin, for him it becomes major. So never look down upon a minor sin, even when it remains a minor. When a person looks down upon a minor sin, it becomes major for him. But even when it is a minor, when it remains within the boundary of minor, even then, do not take minor sins lightly. For example, a person does not look at a minor sin lightly, but he commits a minor sin. Then after committing a minor sin and realizing that I have committed a minor sin, he should not take this lightly. No, he should be very, very careful. Because when a person continually commits a particular minor sin, it becomes major for him. Or if a person continually commits this minor sin, then that minor sin, this minor sin, that minor sin, he has the habit of not being careful regarding minor sin, then his heart will incline towards major sins. And he will begin to commit major sins. And now he will commit adultery, fornication, he will gamble, he will watch films, he will listen to music, he will take interest, he will give interest, he will lie, he will cheat, he will do this, he will do that. And when this becomes his nature, his heart will incline towards kufr. So a person who engages in minor sins, his heart will incline towards major sins. And when a person engages in major sins, his heart will incline towards kufr. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows for how long he is able to hold on to his iman. It is possible that in this very world, while he is still alive, he may lose his iman, or just a few moments before departing from this world, he may lose iman. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of kindness, says to us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, O that group who have been blessed with this great bounty of iman, which guarantees eternal bliss in the hereafter, do not lose this great gift. And in order to safeguard this great gift, ittaqullah, create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah, be it minor or major. Create a barrier between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wiqaya, create a wiqaya, create a taqwa. Taqwa, wiqaya means shield. So what does taqwa mean? Taqwa simply means to stay away from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa simply means to stay away from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This covers faraid. Because discarding of any fard will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means do not discard any fard. This also covers wajib, because discarding of wajib displeases Allah. So it means do not discard any wajib. It also covers sunnah muakkada, because discarding sunnah muakkada also displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means do not discard sunnah muakkada. So it covers fard, it covers wajib, and it covers sunnah muakkada. It also covers haram. Do not engage in any haram activity, any haram action. Do not speak anything that is haram. Why? Because engaging in haram displeases Allah. It also covers makruh-e-tahrimi. Because makruh-e-tahrimi, engaging in makruh-e-tahrimi also displeases Allah. So taqwa covers faraid, taqwa covers wajibat, taqwa covers sunan muakkada, taqwa covers halal, haram, and taqwa covers makruhat-e-tahrimiyya. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah, Allah is saying, do not discard any fard, do not discard any wajib, do not discard any sunnah muakkada, do not engage in any haram, and do not engage in any makruh-e-tahrimi. Once a person is able to hold on to faraid, hold on to wajibat, hold on to sunan muakkada, once a person is able to abstain from haram, abstain from makruhat-e-tahrimiyya, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is a person of taqwa. He is called muttaqi. Muttaqi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who have taqwa. Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Those people who acquire the quality of taqwa
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for them to leave through that exit from any problem that they are in. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبَنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى will sustain them during their times of need, any need. Allah will sustain them with medicine, Allah will sustain them with wealth, Allah will sustain them with honor, Allah will sustain them with sabr, Allah will sustain them with the inner strength. Anything that is required, Allah will sustain them with the nur of iman, with spirituality. Allah will sustain them from avenues which they will not even think of. People of taqwa. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. After iman, if people were to adopt taqwa, if people were to acquire the quality of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we would open the doors of barakat from the heavens and from the earth for them. It is on this level of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises everything, my friends. Taqwa is not difficult. Very simple. Each person, each believer loves taqwa. Each believer wishes within himself that I wish I could also become a muttaqi. I also would like to become a muttaqi. But shaitan has misled each and every one of us to think that I would like to become a muttaqi, but I cannot reach that stage. It's for only a few individuals of the ummah. No, my friends. Taqwa is very, very simple. Taqwa is to abstain from everything that displeases Allah. And what displeases Allah? Discarding of fard, discarding of wajib, discarding of sunnah muakkada, engaging in haram, engaging in makruh tahrimi. This is all we need to do. As soon as we do this, my friends, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us in this world. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be at the time of death. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us in the grave. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us on the day of Qiyamah. At the time of resurrection, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us at the time of reckoning. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us on the pool sirat. Allah will safeguard us. Allah will look after us until we enter Jannah. The only thing we need is taqwa. Only thing we need is taqwa. And it is this taqwa that is missing from almost every mu'min life. Salat is there. Salat is there. The outer Islamic appearance is there. Tilawat is there. Tasbihat is there. Attending the masajid during 5 times, salat is there. Spending time in the masjid between Asar and Maghrib is there. Spending time in the masjid between Fajr and Ishraq is there. Umrah is there. Umrah upon Umrah. Hajj is there. Hajj upon Hajj. Spending time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. 40 days after 40 days. 3 days after 3 days. Etikaf is there. 10 days etikaf, 20 days etikaf, 30 days etikaf. Visiting one's sheikh and spending time in his company is there. So many activities taking place. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And we are quite content with whatever we are doing. But my friends, we are not taking stock of our lives. And we are not trying to work out how much we are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the 24 hours. Our behavior and our attitude is راضی رہے رحمان بھی خوش رہے شیطان بھی. On one side we are trying to make رحمان تعالی happy and on the other side we are making شیطان happy also. In reality we are not making رحمان happy, we are only making شیطان happy. What we need to resolve today is that I will from now never do anything that will displease my Creator. Let us today go home, sit down in a quiet room, take a book, take a paper, notebook, pen, and jot down everything that we find in our lives which is displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make a firm resolution that before I depart from this world, I need to clean myself of this filth. Because if I don't, I will leave this world in the state that my Creator is unhappy with me. Ghibah, backbiting, jealousy, hasad, pride, arrogance, kibr, disobedience to parents, watching films, listening to music, watching filthy things on the internet. So many things that exist in our lives which is continually making our Creator unhappy. Despite that, we feel that we are religious. Despite all the filth that exists in our lives, despite all the disobedience to the Creator that exists in our lives, we still feel we are very religious. We are only able to look at the faults of others. We cannot see our own faults. For as long as we continue to look for faults in other people, we will never become successful. We will become successful the day we start looking for faults in ourselves. A sick person lying on the hospital bed is not concerned about the patient on his right or the patient on his left. He is concerned about himself. What is wrong with me, O doctor? What is my blood result, O doctor? He is not concerned about the patient on the right or the patient on the left. If we want to become successful in the hereafter, if we want to become successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, we need to start worrying about ourselves first, my friends. We need to take stock of our lives. What are we gaining on a daily basis and what are we losing on a daily basis? The loss that we are making, the profit we are making on a daily, is the profit more or the loss more? This we will only be able to do if we sit down on a daily basis before going to sleep for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes in solitude and take stock of the last 24 hours. Then only we will be able to conclude correctly as to whether we are making more profit or more loss as far as the hereafter is concerned. The great people, the luminaries of the Ummah, the people of the Akhirah, Rijalul Akhirah, the people of the Akhirah, they were always concerned about the life hereafter. On every step they used to take before embarking on anything, the first question they would ask themselves is this going to please my Creator or displease my Creator? If this is something that is going to displease my Creator, I need to stay away from it. And if it is something that is going to please my Creator, I need to move forward. And sometimes if they became ghafil, negligent, and they carried out something, then after carrying out that amal, they would again check. They would check. Has this amal pleased my Creator or has this amal displeased my Creator? If the amal had pleased their Creator, they would say, "Oh Allah, this is only through your tawfiq. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr." And if it is something that had displeased their Creator, they would repent and they would say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah.
Before doing anything, they would check. After carrying out the amal, they would check. After 24 hours, they would check. At the end of the week, they would check. At the end of the month, they would check. At the end of the year, they would take stock of the whole life.
Nowadays, my friends, we are content with whatever little or more we are doing for the hereafter.
فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَ الْغُبَارُ أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمْ حِمَارُ.
A person was traveling with a trading caravan and he was sitting on a mule or he was sitting on a donkey. And he was under the impression that he is riding a horse. But because of the dust, he could not see whether it is a horse or whether it is a donkey. But in that dust, he was feeling very proud that I'm riding a donkey. I'm riding a horse. Because a donkey was like a Toyota in those days and a horse was like a BMW. So he was very proud and he was very happy that I'm riding a horse. Whereas underneath was a donkey. So somebody said to him, فَسَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَ الْغُبَارُ.
When this dust remains no more, then you will know whether under you is a horse or a donkey.
So when the dust of this dunya will disappear, when Malakul Maut will extract our ruh, and when we will be able to see properly, we will know whether we are from the people of Jannah or whether we are from the people of Jahannam. Only then we will realize, my friends. It is for this reason, it is very, very important that we feel sorry for ourselves and we begin to assess our lives whilst we are still alive and we are still able to do something for the hereafter.
Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا.
Assess yourselves before reckon yourselves in this very world before you are reckoned in the hereafter. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reckons you on the day of Qiyamah, reckon yourself today. So that if you see anything wrong, you are able to make it better, you are able to repent, and you are able to say to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. And you are able to make your life better.
وَزِنُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا.
And weigh your amal in this very world before they are weighed in the hereafter. Every amal that you do, reckon that amal, assess that amal. Is it something that has pleased my Creator? Is it something that has displeased my Creator? And when you come to this conclusion that it is something that has displeased my Creator, repent. And if you come to this conclusion that it is something that has pleased my Creator, it is a good amal, then now weigh that amal. Weigh that amal by looking as to whether that amal was performed according to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or not. Weigh that amal by checking your intention, whether it was sincere or not. Because a good amal is not weighty on the day of Qiyamah without it being according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and without it being with ikhlas. So weigh your amal. Weigh your amal before they are weighed on the day of Qiyamah.
وَتَأَهَبُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ.
And Umar radiallahu anhu says that prepare yourself for that Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is to come on the day of Qiyamah when each and every one of us will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. We will be presented to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not even the minutest item will remain hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا.
The book of deeds will be opened in front of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, اقرأ كتابك, read your book of deed. Read your book of deed.
كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا.
Flip through your book of deed. Today you are enough to reckon yourself. You do not need another muhasib, another reckoner. you are enough. Because as soon as you flip through your book, you will exactly know where you stand, whether you belong to the people of Jannah or you belong to the people of Jahannam.
When we, on the day of Qiyamah, my friends, will flip through our own biographies, our own lives,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْسَاهَا.
Very, very strange. This book has not left a minor item or a major item, but it has recorded it. Everything is recorded in here.
وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find everything that they had done in this world. In that book of deed, each and every item that they had done in this world, they will find in that book.
Because the two angels are continually writing our a'mal. Whatever we say, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Any word that we utter, immediately the angel writes down.
وَإِنَّ عَلِيكُمْ لَحَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ.
There are two angels who are continually looking after you. Kiram and Katibin. The one on the right is writing all the goods. And the one on the left is writing all the evil. Each and every item is being recorded, my friends. And each and every item on the day of Qiyamah either will come in our favor or it will come against us. So we need to feel sorry for ourselves. We need to be kind to ourselves. We need to worry about ourselves. We need to show concern to ourselves for the hereafter. Before it is too late, before we breathe our last, before Malakul Maut comes. So we need to create a barrier between ourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to create a barrier between ourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the goal from today, inshallah, will be, we will not do anything, we will not say anything that will displease my Creator. We will not do anything, we will not say anything that will displease our Creator. Let us make a firm resolution, my friend. Firm resolution. And let us have a notebook, let us jot down every negative point that we find in our lives. And let us work towards rectifying these ills that we find within our lives. If we want to succeed in the hereafter, let us work towards remedying these problems, rectifying these faults. And if we are unable to do it ourselves, let us turn to the experts, the mashayikh, and seek their guidance. So that we are able to purify our souls. We are able to purify our actions. We are able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state that He is happy with us. So the firm resolution is that inshallah from today, we will not do anything that will displease our Creator. We will do only that which will please Him. So if we discard a fard, Allah will become unhappy. But if we do not discard a fard, Allah will become happy. If we discard a wajib, Allah will become unhappy. But if we carry out a fard, Allah will become happy. If we discard a sunnah muakkada, Allah will become unhappy. But if we carry out sunnah muakkada, Allah will become happy. If we engage in haram, Allah will become unhappy. But if I abstain from haram, Allah will become happy. Abstaining from haram is also ibadah. When a person gets the opportunity to do something haram and he abstains from it, that is also ibadah. And Allah becomes happy. If I engage in makruhe tahrimi, Allah will become unhappy. And if I abstain, Allah will become happy. So I will abstain from everything that will displease Allah. I will not make Allah unhappy from today. And whilst I am attempting not to make Allah unhappy, Allah is becoming happy. Because I am attempting by performing salat not to make Allah unhappy. And automatically Allah is becoming happy because I am performing salat. And on top of that, I will also try to do as much as possible from those things which if I discard, Allah will not become unhappy. But which if I carry out, Allah will become happy.
Sunnah ghair muakkada. If I discard, Allah will not become unhappy. But if I carry out, Allah will become happy. Mustahab, if I discard, Allah will not become unhappy. But if I carry out, Allah will become happy. Nafl, if I discard, Allah will not become unhappy. But if I carry out, Allah will become happy. So I will abstain from everything that makes Allah unhappy, as a result of which Allah will become happy. And I will also continually try to carry out those actions which will make Allah happy more, 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 more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. So when a person abstains from discarding fard, discarding wajib, discarding sunnah muakkada, engaging in haram, engaging in makruh tahrimi, Allah becomes happy with him. And after getting faraid, wajibat, sunnah muakkada, and haram and makruh tahrimi under control, he moves forward and he engages in sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, nawafil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant continues to acquire my nearness, my proximity, my love, my attention through nawafil, through mustahabbat, through those actions which were not compulsory upon him, until he becomes my beloved. Until he becomes my beloved, I begin to love him. Hatta uhibbahu. Faida ahbabtuhu. And when I begin to love him, when he becomes my beloved, kuntu sam'ahu alladhi yasma'u bihi. I become his ears with which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. And I become his eyes with which he observes. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. I become his hands with which he touches, with which he holds. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. I become his feet with which he walks. That means, when a person becomes my mahbub, and how does a person becomes mahbub? By carrying out faraiz, wajibat, sunan muakkada, abstaining from haram, abstaining from makruh tahrimi, thereafter carrying out sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahabbat, and nawafil, and abstaining from makruh tanzihi. When he becomes my mahbub, then I monitor each and every limb of his. I monitor each and every action of his. I monitor each and every word of his. Thereafter, he will never be able to do anything that will displease me. Because I monitor him. He is my beloved now. I cannot let him do anything that will make me unhappy. And he becomes so close to me. So close to me, so beloved to me. وَلَئِنْ سَالَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. When he raises his hands in my court and he asks from me, I definitely grant it to him. And if he seeks my refuge from anything that may harm him, I definitely grant him refuge. Because he is my beloved. He is my beloved. He is my beloved. So we have to do two things. Number one, we need to stay away from each and everything that displeases Allah. And number two, we need to try and do as much as possible from those actions which are not compulsory, which are not incumbent, which are not necessary, but which brings the pleasure of Allah, which makes Allah happy. Now one question. That question is that yes, we have resolved. We have made a firm resolution that from today we will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what if I sleep after 1 month? What if I sleep after 3 weeks? What if I sleep after 1 week? What if I sleep after 24 hours? What if I sleep after 4 hours, 5 hours? Because at the moment, my yaqeen is weak. My iman is at its lowest ebb. And the influence of shaitan is very strong. And my nafs has not turned into nafse mutmainna. It is still nafse ammara. It is after this vigorous mujahada, vigorous effort and striving of staying away from disobedience to Allah, that my nafs will be elevated slowly, slowly to the status of nafse mutmainna. And when nafs becomes nafse mutmainna, it will become very easy to obey Allah. But at this moment, I feel that it may not last for long, this resolution. This resolve may not last for long. And this thought comes in our minds and we become despondent and we lose hope. And because we lose hope that, no, it's not going to work. I want to do it, but it's not going to work. It may work for as long as 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, maybe 72 hours, maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. I've tried before. In the month of Ramadan, I have repented. And the most I lasted was for 3 weeks in Shawwal. After Hajj, I have tried. The most I lasted was for 3 months. I went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days, for 4 months. I came with a very firm resolution. And the most I lasted was for 1 month. So I want to change. I want to resolve. I do not want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I know it's not going to work. I know I'm going to sleep. Yes, it's true. It's true. We know we are going to sleep because we are still weak. And we will become stronger and stronger and stronger in our effort to abstaining from sins when we carry out good deeds as much as possible. When we exert this mujahada that despite not wanting to come for salat, we go for salat. Despite not wanting to control our gazes, we control our gazes. Despite not wanting to stay away from music, we stay away from music. Despite not wanting to stay away from watching films, we stay away from watching films. This mujahada, this is called mujahada. Staying away from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mujahada. That is the mujahada that is demanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is regarding this mujahada, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Those people who exert mujahada for our pleasure, for my pleasure, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will definitely guide such people on many paths leading to us. Not one path. Allah will create many paths. But we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. So we have to resolve. And we do not need to become despondent. What the resolve that we have to make is that from today I will not do anything that will make my creator unhappy. That will displease my creator. So I leave the masjid. And I come across a first situation where I am able to control myself and please the Creator. I come across a second situation and alhamdulillah, because of this resolution, I'm able to please my Creator again. I come across a third situation and I'm able to please my Creator again. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th situation. And alhamdulillah, I've pleased my Creator. Now, if you leave from here with despondency, with hopelessness, that no, it is something I cannot do. It is something I cannot do. Then first situation, you will fail. Second situation, you will fail. Third situation, you will fail. But if you go with this resolve, that no, I can do it. I must do it. I have to do it. For my sake, I have to do it. I have to be kind to myself. I have to do it. And if you go with this resolve, one situation, you have succeeded. Second situation, succeeded. Third situation, succeeded. This mujahada is making your spirituality more fitter and fitter. Fitter. And then as soon as you sleep, the 11th time, the 4th time, the 15th time, when you sleep, it's very simple. It's very simple. Make tawbah and reaffirm this very resolution. The resolution that you are making here today in this masjid, that from today I will not do anything that will displease my Creator. Reaffirm that resolution. When you fail, reaffirm that resolution. I have a habit of watching films on the internet. Tonight I was able to control myself. Tomorrow night I was able to control myself. The night after I was able to control myself. Alhamdulillah, 3 times. Mujahada, succeeded in my mujahada. Alhamdulillah, that's a good sign. 4th day, shaitan and nafs took control over me and I could not resist and I slipped. Slipped. So what shall I do now? I've slipped. Shall I continue with that sinful life? No. Reaffirm that very resolution that you are making here now. Here you are making a general resolution. After watching a film or committing a particular sin, reaffirm resolution regarding that particular aspect of your life. That no, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. 3 days ago in Quwwatul Islam Masjid, in a very big gathering, in this blessed environment, I had made promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will never disobey you, I will never make you unhappy. and I've slipped again. Only after 3 days, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I am making a firm resolution that I will not watch any film again. I will never do this again. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tawbah. Tawbah. Tawbah is also part of taqwa. So when we say that remain a muttaqi, that means stay away from sinful activities, and when you commit a sin, make tawbah. You will still remain a muttaqi. Tawbah means to return. So when a person commits a sin, when a person disobeys Allah, and as a result of disobeying Allah, he displeases Allah, he moves away from the platform of taqwa. He is no more a muttaqi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to return his servant back to the platform of taqwa, has created tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that use the tool of tawbah. Why are you worried? It's so simple. Taqwa, 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 and you slip tawbah and back to taqwa again. Taqwa, 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 you slip back, use tawbah and back to taqwa again. So tawbah is a catapult which brings a person back, which throws a person back to taqwa. So taqwa and tawbah, tawbah is part of taqwa. Tawbah is part of the person who tries his utmost to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a muttaqi. And when he fails, he repents immediately. This person does not go out of the group of the muttaqin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran that Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqin. U'iddat lil muttaqin. Jannah has been prepared for the people of taqwa. And who are the people of taqwa? What is their quality? Allah says, Alladhina yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa dharra. They spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during good times, during bad times. When they are wealthy, they spend. When they are poor, they spend. This is the one first quality of the muttaqin. Wal qadhimina al ghayz. Second quality of the muttaqin, they swallow anger. They are able to control their anger. Third quality, wal afina anin nas. They forgive people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And the fourth quality of the muttaqin, fourth quality of the muttaqin, walladhina idha fa'alu fahishatan aw zalamu anfusahum dhakarullaha fastaghfaru lidhunubihim. That when they make a mistake, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make istighfar, tawbah, and return to the platform of taqwa. Allah says regarding such people who try their utmost to abstain from disobedience, and when they do make a mistake, they make tawbah, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِّن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. The reward of such people who try their utmost to abstain from sins, and when they commit a sin, who repent immediately, what is their reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maghfiratun min rabbihim, forgiveness from their Rabb. Wa jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anharu khalidina fiha, and gardens of paradise under which rivers will flow. So the cycle of life from today will be taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa and never become despondent. Never become, even if your tawbah, if your taqwa breaks every 1 hour and you have to make tawbah, don't become despondent. Continue. Taqwa, tawbah. By making us commit sins, shaitan is getting the better of us. By repenting, we should get the better of shaitan. This is the battle, that we try to remain on taqwa, and shaitan's effort is that we don't remain on taqwa. If he succeeds, then all we need to do is to retaliate by making tawbah. Tawbah, very, very precious name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Within seconds, a person becomes the beloved of Allah through tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-taibu habibullah. The one who repents is the beloved of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who repent. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, attaibu min adzambi kamalla zambalahu. The one who repents from sins is like that person who has no sins. So we have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. And from the many benefits of tawbah, one benefit is that the stamina to abstain from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. The stamina. So let's say that a person has a habit of listening to music and he is making a firm resolution at this precise moment that no more music. And after one day, overcome by shaitan, overcome by nafs, overcome by negligence, overcome by mahol, environment, friend circle, he engages in listening to music. When he realizes after 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I will never do this again. After 5 hours again, he engages. When he realizes I have committed a sin, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, oh Allah, I promise you, I will never do this again. With regret, he says, oh Allah, I will never do this again. After 24 hours, he fails again. After 8 hours, he fails again. After 5 hours, he fails again. After 40 hours, he fails again. Sometimes 5 hours, sometimes 48 hours, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 1 hour, sometimes 3 days, sometimes 2 days. This will continue. But he continues to repent, 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 repent. His stamina, spiritual stamina, is increasing every time he repents. And a time will come after a few months when he will be able to resist this sin for at least 3 days. And then he will see the progress, that before I was able to resist for 3 days, now I can resist it for 5 days, and now for 10 days, and now for 20 days, and now for 30 days. And a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the barrier of taqwa between this person and music. So tawbah and taqwa and tawbah. Taqwa and tawbah. Final point. How can we make taqwa and tawbah easy? Taqwa. We will try. How can we make taqwa and tawbah easy? How can we make taqwa and tawbah easy? Through dhikrullah. Through remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through enlightening our hearts with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the masnoon tasbihat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the ahadith. The third kalima, the fourth kalima, the first kalima. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. The masnoon tasbihat that we find in the ahadith. Also masnoon prayers. Dua before eating, dua after eating, dua before entering the lavatory, dua when leaving the lavatory, dua when meeting a Muslim brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Try to learn as many masnoon duas as possible. This is also dhikr. Tilawat of the Quran, this is also dhikr. On a daily basis, allocate a portion from the Quran. For example, I will make sure that I read Yasin Sharif in the morning daily. I will make sure that I recite Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda before going to sleep. I will read Suratul Kahf every Friday and a portion from the Quran on a daily basis. If it's one juz, alhamdulillah. For Huffaz, 3 juz. Non-Huffaz, 1 juz. If not 1 juz, then my friends, begin with 3/4. If not 3/4, then begin with half. If not half, begin with quarter. If not quarter, then begin with 1 ruku on a daily basis. But you should begin with Suratul Fatiha. And read along until you reach oneness, whether after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. On a daily basis, portion, 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 portion. And inshallah, a time will come soon when you will get addicted to the Quran. And you will not be able to suffice with 1 ruku. Quran will suck you in. And you will not be able to stop without reciting half a juz, 3/4 of a juz, or 1 juz. So Quran is also dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is the best form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afdalu dhikr. So Quran is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite Quran. Tasbihat, third kalima 100 times daily. First kalima 100 times daily. Istighfar 100 times daily. Salat ala nabi, durood-e-paak 100 times daily. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi lazim, 100 times daily. Whatever you are able to do on a daily basis, begin with something at least. Dhikr, dhikr, tasbihat. And masnoon prayers on a daily basis. Masnoon prayers before eating, after eating, when entering the masjid, when leaving the masjid. And try to increase these du'as by learning more and more and by practicing them. So dhikrullah. Through dhikrullah, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. And when awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, taqwa, abstaining from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy. And when awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, after doing something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will very quickly realize that I have displeased Allah. So he will make tawbah. So taqwa and tawbah will become easy once a person has enlightened his heart with the noor of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is for the beginners. Tilawat, masnoon tasbihat, masnoon prayers. And if we are connected to a sheikh, then under his supervision, slowly, we should make our hearts dhakir. We should enlighten our hearts with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na dunya se, na dawlat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. Na dunya se, na dawlat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. When the heart is 24 hours in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart will find solace and peace. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered 24 hours, what will happen is that taqwa will remain in our lives. And if we sleep, then tawbah will immediately take place. And when taqwa and tawbah takes place, the heart remains clean and pure. And when the heart is clean and pure, it will always remain happy and peaceful. So now we go from here with 3 lessons. Taqwa, tawbah, and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding all 3, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Acquire the quality of taqwa. You will become successful. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Tawbah, repent. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will become successful. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. You will become successful. Why? Because a person who has taqwa will never displease Allah. And if Allah is pleased with him, in this world he will be successful. In the hereafter he will be successful. Tawbah, Allah is unhappy. Through tawbah, Allah will become happy. And when Allah becomes happy, success in this world, success in the hereafter. Dhikr, because of dhikr, taqwa will be maintained. And if taqwa is lost, then immediately through tawbah, taqwa will be regained. So, as soon as taqwa is regained, Allah will become happy again. So, success. So, Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The path to success is taqwa, tawbah, and dhikrullah. Hardam Allah, Allah kar, noor se apna seena bhar. Hardam Allah, Allah kar, noor se apna seena bhar. Jiye to uska ho kar ji, mare to uska ho kar mar. Hardam Allah, Allah kar, at all times, Allah, Allah, remember Allah, heart and mind, the dhikr of the tongue, the dhikr of the heart and mind. Hardam Allah, Allah kar, noor se apna seena bhar. Enlighten your heart with the noor of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it is enlightened, then a person will only live his life according to the pleasure of Allah. And a person will only die according to the pleasure of Allah. Noor se apna seena par jiye to uska hokar ji, mare to uska hokar mar. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi is in his final moments. He lived his life according to the pleasure of Allah. And he died his death according to the pleasure of Allah. Last moments, and he is saying, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, and he departed from this world. My late mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, during his last moments, he was saying, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, love for Makkah, love for Medina, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina. So he lived his life according to the wishes of the Creator, and he died his death according to the wishes of the Creator. Final moments, Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Sahib, Maulana Asad Madani, he went into coma. And the doctor said that technically he is dead, his brain is not working. Technically he is dead and he is only surviving because of the machine. On the last day before he departed, on the last day, his sister was sitting next to him in the Apollo Hospital in Delhi, and he started moving his lips. So she became very happy that my brother is getting better. So she said, are you okay? Is it something you want? What is it that you want? But she could not hear what he was saying. So she put her ear against his lips and he was saying, Allah, 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 and he breathed his last. He lived his life according to the wishes of the Creator. He died his death according to the wishes of the Creator. Maulana Yahya Madani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who passed away recently in Karachi. I read his last moments in a magazine in Urdu. The doctor who was treating him after Hazrat went into coma, he checked his heart and he heard that the heart in coma, the heart was saying Allah, Allah, Allah. But he was spiritually associated to him. So for a while he thought that because I have aqeedat for my Hazrat and he is my Sheikh, I may be hearing things. So he called another doctor who was not so religious and who was not associated to Mashaikh, and he said, can you check his heart? So when he checked his heart, he turned towards this first doctor and he said, this is a very extraordinary human being. He said, why? He said, this is the first time I've come across somebody who is in coma and whose heart is saying Allah, 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 Allah. He lived his life according to the wishes of the Creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him death according to his wishes. And one more and final example, Muhaddis Abu Zura'a, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was in his final moments, and during the final moments, it is sunnah to do talqeen of the kalima. And talqeen of the kalima is that those around the one near to death should recite the kalima. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. They should not instruct him to read. And once the one near to death recites the kalima, thereafter the talqeen should stop and unless he engages in worldly talk again. So the students who were around Muhaddis Abu Zura'a, rahimahullahu ta'ala, when they saw that the Shaykh is in his final stages, they looked at each other. They had lot of adab. They said, he is our Shaykh, a great Muhaddis, our Ustad. How can we do talqeen of the kalima? How can we say to him that recite the kalima? How can we do talqeen? We are very young students. So one bright student came up with a bright idea. And he said, he thought to himself that I will ask him to narrate a hadith to us which contains the kalima la ilaha illallah. So he began the chain of the hadith. In the hadith we have the chain and then the text of the hadith. He began reciting the chain of the hadith. Now he was lying unconscious, Muhaddis Abu Zura'a, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But he lived his life according to the wishes of the Creator. So Allah granted him death according to his wish. Final moments, he is unconscious. And the student of his took his mouth near his ear. And he began reciting the sanad, the chain of the narration, that our teacher so and so has narrated this to us. And he said that our teacher so and so has narrated this to us. And he said that our teacher so and so has narrated this to us. And Muhaddis Abu Zura'a opened his eyes and he continued the chain from there. And he took the chain all the way up to the Sahabi, and from the Sahabi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. The hadith is, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. That person whose last words on the tongue are la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. That person enters Jannah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. The person whose last words are la ilaha illallah enters Jannah. So Muhaddis Abu Zur'a rahimahullah ta'ala, carrying on from his student, he continued with the sanad, the chain of the narration, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. Well, he reached here and he departed from this world. He could not even say dakhal al jannah. He practically went into Jannah. He said, La ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. I say to my friends all the time whenever I quote this incident, that so many people must have left this world with kalima, but not like Muhaddis Abu Zur'a, that he recited the kalima whilst narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those people who live their lives according to the wishes of the Creator, and the wishes of the Creator is taqwa and tawbah, taqwa and tawbah, taqwa and tawbah. And for taqwa and tawbah, you need awareness of Allah, zikrullah, zikrullah, zikrullah. Those people who live their lives according to the wishes of the Creator, they depart from this world according to the wishes of the Creator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Hardam Allah, Allah kar, noor se apna seena bhar. Jiye to uska ho kar ji, mare to uska ho kar mar. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.